How do I get 8+ hours of amazing sleep nearly every night? I'm grateful to be here with you during day 144 of my Happier People podcast and vlog. Today, one of the best parts of I find to being a happy person is to consistently get a great night of sleep. I will explain to you here exactly what I've learned after years of having a hard time getting sleep, inconsistent sleep, and almost every kind of disruption you can imagine. I'll explain what I do today that works, and I'll speak to some of the common problems you might experience that block you from getting good sleep. First, how's my life today with 8 hours of sleep? It's incredible. I have perfect energy nearly all day, every day. And you might say, well, it's just because you're young. I haven't had this good of energy flow ever. Not when I was a child, not when I was a teenager, not in my 20s. I feel better than I've ever felt before. And what I've noticed is that the times I've felt best in my life, I also got the most consistent sleep. And the times I was the least happy, most frustrated, suicidal, depressed, crazy, angry, I also did not get good sleep. Now, does the one way of acting and thinking and all of the moods and frustration cause bad sleep? Yes, I find lots of times when I'm all messed up inside that I'll do things that disrupt my sleep. But also, not getting the sleep feeds into having more moods like that. Same thing in my life. I notice the people who consistently get the best sleep are the happiest, have the most energy, and feel the best about life. The people who tend to be healthy and miserable. No, not healthy. Let me back up. The people who tend to be unhealthy and miserable and frustrated the most also tend to have disrupted sleep. There's a lot within our power that we have to get better sleep. And when you just write it off with some excuse right away, then it's easy to just feel helpless about doing anything else about it. It turns out there's a ton of little tips and tricks that can help no matter who you are. That said, sure, sometimes you might have a temporary problem that disrupts your sleep. You might have a newborn that's having trouble sleeping. But even in those cases, there are always things you can do to make it a little bit better. For example, I used to consistently wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. Guess what? I stopped drinking hardly any water for several hours before I go to bed, and now I don't wake up in the middle of the night and need to go to the bathroom. There are an amazing amount of things that we can fix to get good sleep. I hope I've made clear today, I have an amazing life full of health and happiness and peace of mind and energy levels that both are high when it comes to doing something like this, and then I'm able to drop in and just relax during other parts of the day without being that high strung and anxious all the time. Then when I get in bed, I'm ready to have great energy right up until when I go to bed. I go to bed and I generally fall asleep pretty quickly. Even if I do roll over a bit, it's not mental torture. Even if I think about things, I don't get into this fear of, am I going to fall asleep? I don't feel this need, this pressure that I have to fall asleep. And why? A big part of that is because I wake up whenever my daughter wakes up. When you have an alarm, when you have a job you have to get up and go to, this often puts us in the situation of a pressure cooker. We throw ourselves down in bed. I've had lots of jobs I've had to work and get up for at all hours, from being to work at 11 p.m. to 5:30 a.m. and everywhere in between. When you have this pressure cooker where you get up and go to work first thing in the morning and you set your alarm to the very latest you can, this tends to create an environment of anxiety about going to sleep. One thing you can do to change that is go to bed earlier and then get up earlier. You might think, well, God, why would I want to do that? I know I like to have at least 30 minutes in the morning where I have some peaceful time to just wake up and get moving. I wouldn't want to step straight out and get in the car anymore after doing it for years. today, that's one of the things that helps me get good sleep is I don't have some alarm to wake up to. I remember some MLM program I was doing that was the fantasy life in it, and I have that today. Now, a lot of us force ourselves to get up. Another thing, I have my wife and daughter in the house with me. And I can sleep just fine, whether they're in the house or whether they're out of the house. Either of those, I sleep great either way. What else do I do for my sleep? Some simple tricks that help me get more sleep. One of the most critical things is to have the room dark. This was quite obvious to me when I worked night shift as a police officer. I'd come home, it'd be 8 or 9 or 10 in the morning, and I'd be sleeping the whole day while it was sunny. And I realized there that it was difficult to sleep during the day if the windows weren't blacked out, if it wasn't significantly dark in the room. I heard this tip in, I think it was Gretchen Rubin's Happiness Project, for getting more sleep. And at the time, I looked around and I had all these big windows in my room. And I thought, well, what can I do to actually black this out? And then if you have a partner you're with, the partner might not want the ugly solutions to get the room blacked out that you need to get good sleep. If you go to bed, as I often did at midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, and then the sun comes up and you wake up at 6 or 7, and then you start telling a story, well, I just can't sleep 8 hours. That's just not true. Go to bed earlier. The sun tends to wake up, according to the science I've heard, the sun, just when it hits your skin, tends to wake you up. It's a sign to get up. In that same vein, then having a bunch of lights on and things like that, if you're trying to sleep, is also a sign to stay awake. Now, sure, there are some circumstances that will make things challenging beyond your control. You have the ability to move and manage those circumstances, though. For example, if you've got some roommate in college who demands to keep the lights on, try switching roommates. There's always things you can do. I'm grateful that today I have my windows blacked out because my bedroom's also my studio, which is where I work. And I negotiated with my wife that I get to control essentially the bedroom and she gets to do the whole rest of the house. In the bedroom, I've blocked out, I've created these kind of foam pieces that I'll show you one here. So I've got these foam pieces like this. And these foam pieces are stuck with a piece of cardboard into the window to reduce outside sounds. Well, the nice thing, that also completely blacks the windows out. So there's no sunlight that gets in. If you close the door of my bedroom, it's hard for me to tell whether it's 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon. The room is completely blacked out. And that is one of the top tips I have to give for falling asleep and staying asleep. In fact, blacking your room out too effectively, if you don't have an alarm, you can easily end up sleeping 10, 12 hours because your body just doesn't get any signal from the earth in the form of sunlight to wake up. If you've ever slept in on a cloudy day, you've experienced this. Another huge tip that works really well for me is to have some unwinding routines hours before bed. When you combine this with the blacking out, it's almost a guaranteed good fall asleep routine. Why? Because if you look at yourself more like a big baby, it's quite easy to manage your life. Today we get all this complicated crap in our head and we think that we are all these certain ways when really I look at my daughter who's a year and a half old and I work on just about the same principles she does. And what does my wife do with her? My wife winds her down every night. She has a set of routines she goes through every night before bed. And guess what? Our little girl falls asleep consistently, which I'm grateful for, every night. Why? A big part of the reason is that when it hits 8 o'clock at night, my wife puts her and I am there to brush our teeth and do bath time and say goodnight to her. Every night she winds down. She has the same set of routines she goes for that signals to her brain and her body that it's time to go to sleep. And then she gets in bed and falls asleep. And my wife has done a good job of getting her room nice and blacked out as well so that she can stay asleep. And if you've got a baby and their room is light and you wonder why they wake up so early and wake you up, try blacking their room out and I bet they'll sleep longer too. I find it's important for me to have longer bedtime routines than my daughter. Why? Because I get more wound up. My daughter is very flexible at a year and a half old. When it's time for bed, she just switches off and gets ready to go to bed. Me, I need about 2 hours of sleep routines to get ready to go to bed. I have several things I generally avoid doing before bed. One of those is getting on this. And how do I do that? Well, I listen to a book or I call people on the phone. I have about 2 hours of bedtime routines. After going through my daughter's bedtime routines, then I have my bedtime routines. I might watch one video course at the very end of the day, so to speak, at about 8:30. And then we're into bedtime routines. I take my dogs out for a walk. I call friends and family on the phone. If no one answers, I listen to an audiobook. I come back in. I take a shower. I sit down and read. Guess what? That's what my parents had me do as well. Sit down and read before bed. I read before bed. That kind of takes the very last mental energy out of my mind. Lots of times, occasionally, I get fired up right before bed, whatever I read. And then I go to bed when my wife goes to bed. Now, my wife's had a lot of patience with me, waiting for me to figure out that it's better for everyone in the house if all of us wake up at the same time and if I go to bed when she goes to bed. Why? Because if you do things like I used to do, you have a self-centered focus like I've had a lot of my life and still could have some of today. I would stay up and play video games with my friends till 1, 2, 3 in the morning. And then guess what? My wife would have went to bed at 11. Here I come in bed at 2. I wake her up getting in bed. I'm tossing and turning because I'm all fired up playing video games. I fall asleep at 3 in the morning. Then our daughter wakes up at 7 in the morning. And guess what? I've got 4 hours then of often halfway done sleep. And then I'm tired and cranky the next day. And whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? Mine. And you know how many times I went through that sequence of events before I figured it out? Just go to bed when your wife goes to bed. And guess what? It works really well. When you got one person who's all selfish and not paying attention to what's going on in the rest of the house, it can disrupt everyone else's sleep. And I know this can be difficult in a family. And sometimes, like my wife, you just have to have loving patience with them and lead by example. My wife didn't get nasty with me and say, you need to go to bed with the rest of us. She just let me suffer, essentially. And she even was graceful about the pains that I would cause coming in and waking her up at night. She gave me space to figure out, you know what? If I go to bed with her, everything tends to work a whole lot better. It took me a year after having a newborn to figure that out, to see, oh, why don't I just go to bed with my wife and then everything will work out fine. Now I've been doing that for 8 or 9 months and it works. It's best. We are social human beings. It's best if all of us go to sleep together. And if you live alone, then this is an easy one. However, I'll point out some other things that you may run into if you live alone. If you live with other people and they have good sleep routines, let them help you out. If you live with other people who have really bad sleep routines, then leading by example is the best way to teach. It just simply trying to get frustrated with them or getting angry with them often will only encourage them to stay the same. If you lead by example, like my wife did, she led by example, putting my daughter to bed, putting herself to bed, and I finally figured out that I should come along. And now I'm totally converted. When everyone in the house goes to bed at the same time, it really helps. That's why I'm sharing this with you today, because it works really good for me. And those are my bedtime routines. And guess what? My mind then gets into bed prepared to fall asleep. Now, it doesn't fall asleep every single night right away when I get in bed. However, with my sleep routines, I have faith when I get in bed, I trust that my body will fall asleep and get enough sleep. Now, the beauty of this is I get so much sleep on a normal basis. If there's a temporary disruption in my sleep, for example, if my daughter, sometimes she's teething or she has some challenge she's going through and she wakes up in the middle of the night, I get so much sleep normally that I'm incredibly resilient when there's a disruption. What you'll notice is if you're getting bad sleep on a regular basis, any little disruption will just push you right over the edge. If there's some outside force, and then you'll scream and complain about the outside force, when the truth is you don't take care and focus on fixing the problem of your sleep on a regular basis, and whenever something externally happens, it is the straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak. Today, I'm grateful if there's some unusual disruption and I don't get a good night of sleep. I have so much stored up, essentially, that my body still functions as if I had. And then it's very easy to fall asleep right away on a subsequent night. If you're laying in bed and you often are full of racing thoughts, one strategy I use is to consciously let go. Let go of it's like what you might imagine dying. Let go. Just essentially die. Let go of your whole life. Let go of all the stories. Let go of everything. I find that that is the one mental strategy that consistently works that I fall asleep. Because the mind, with all of these racing thoughts, it's really trying to grab on everything tight. Oh my God, what's going to happen when this, and oh, well, all right, so next month, well, I have enough money. Oh my God, well, that person said this, and you just let go of it all. I trust it will work out, and there's a certain amount of, I don't care, whatever. I got here somehow just fine. I'm sure everything else for the rest of eternity will be fine as well. I don't have to think about it while I'm laying in bed right now. I will handle it when I get up tomorrow. I notice I rarely ever have a good idea when I'm laying in bed. It's almost always anxiety, worrying, useless time. It's almost always some kind of self-sabotage attempt to hold on to whatever happened. And when I consciously just say, let it go, I generally fall right to sleep after that. And even if I don't, I have peace about it. I remember where I am. Look, I'm in bed with my wife. From 15 years old, I've completely made it. I've totally made it right now. Here I am. This is the spot I fantasized about being at for 10 years of my life. Here I am, right in the middle of it. Our daughter is asleep. And that I focus on what I'm grateful for, and the mind often gets bored with that and will fall asleep as a defense mechanism. If you have these thoughts that are torturing and persecuting you, things you've done before, or that'll come out trying to hide that, will come out and this person's such an effing jerk, and this person, I can't believe they did that, and now that I'm gonna... If your mind is full of that stuff before bed, which mine used to be full of stuff like that before bed, which is why I used to like a drinker, 6 or 8 or 10 or 15 or 20 drinks before bed, because then I'd just fall asleep like a zombie and pass out more like. If those kinds of things are going through your head, it's very helpful to do a confession. To go to someone who's religiously or occupationally bound, like a priest or a therapist, depending on where you live, or wherever you are. I mean, it could be a close friend, a family member, someone in a 12-step program, or it could just be your mom or dad. I don't know. I trust you can find the right person. Doing a confession will often unload all that. Because all those thoughts are racing around, if you're like me, in your head, because they really want to get out, to be seen in the light, to heal and be moved on. And lots of times all these judgments against others that you might be stuck with in bed at night, these are things that are trying to cover up things. For me, all those thoughts about other people are thoughts trying to cover up stuff I've done. And when I look, okay, what are these thoughts trying to hide? What are all these thoughts trying to hide? Then I usually find things. Well, remember when you did that? And then I go confess, tell another person, look, I did this. Then I don't get, not only the judgmental thoughts don't cut bump, but then I feel okay about whatever horrible sin I did in my past. what you might notice if you actually start trying to do better on your sleep. This is one of those things where what I call insanity will come out hard. I have a family member who has, for at least 10 years, consistently has been telling me about how they've been trying to go to bed earlier. If you are in the grip of what I call insanity, or what Eckhart Tolle might call unconsciousness, when you try and do something about your sleep, you will get a hellacious pushback. You will find every single reason to not go to bed. You'll be up at 3 in the morning when you swore you'd go to bed at 9 p.m. This often can be a big challenge if you live alone or you're disconnected from the people you live with. If you are connected to the people you live with, it can be often helps a lot to have a partner and go to bed with them. But if you live alone or you're in your mother-in-law suite or something, it may be very easy to get into this insanity. And I've experienced a lot of my adult life in insanity. Insanity being where I want to do better at something, but I can't. No matter how hard I try, I do not get any results or progress. For me, the insanity was best shown by my drinking. I knew since before I drank, I should never drink because my dad was an alcoholic, my grandmother's an alcoholic, and grandfather's now, etc., etc. I knew I should never drink, and yet I drank anyway. And not only that, I knew after the first time I had a hangover, I should never drink again. Not even have one drink. And guess what? I kept trying to do it and do it again. And then I'd swear off forever. I'm never going to drink again. And then next day, next week, next month, I'd decide, you know what? Well, let's try this again. Maybe I can do a better job. That's insanity. When you keep getting, that's the same thing that goes into unhealthy relationships. You're with a person who abuses you physically, emotionally, or some other way, who treats you horrible. You swear you're not going to go back to them. And then guess what? You're right back to them. This happens in work environments as well. You go into work, you get treated like crap. I'm going to quit that job. And guess what? You're right back in there the next day getting the same abuse. Insanity will often come up in sleep. I'm going to go to bed earlier, and it'll come up in dieting. I'm going to eat better. And guess what? You keep trying and trying and trying. And if you look at the truth, I mean, the truth might make you cry at first, but you look at it, you don't do any better. You try and go on a diet, you don't do any better. You try and go to bed earlier, you don't do any better. I have a family member who's tried and tried and tried with sleep, and they do not go to bed and do not get good sleep. They try and try. I mean, they've resorted to all kinds of things to try and get better sleep, and they do not get better sleep. Why? Because there's some mental thing that happens. That insanity, for me, it was the compulsion to drink, you might call it, the desire to drink, the flip. I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to drink. And then 4 o'clock would come around, my friend would want to play a video game, my wife would be at work late or out with her friends, and I'd be like, maybe I'll have a drink. I would selectively forget everything else, all the things that went wrong. And I would imagine with the family member in sleep, it gets to be 9 p.m. and they said they were going to go to bed and they just need to do one more thing. And all of a sudden it's 10 p.m. and F it. We're going to clean the whole house right now. We got 15 more. We're going to just do all these things. And all of a sudden it's 3 a.m. and here we go again. Now I'm an awful person. I was going to go to bed at 9 p.m. From what I've found, I need a whole community of people to help me with staying sane on a daily basis. That's why I go to Alcoholics Anonymous every day, because I'm not cured. I could forget in 5 minutes everything I know and talk myself into getting a drink again. I'm not cured from being insane. I am essentially, I work on staying awake constantly, because I realize if I dip off into sleep and into autopilot, I'll probably go get a drink again, regardless of every single other thing, regardless of having been to probably 1,000 AA meetings, regardless to everything else. I drift off to sleep again, mentally, where I'm not paying attention, I'm on autopilot, and that'll happen, complaining at the world, cussing and people out, and doing things that are selfish, and I will dip into going to sleep, and I'll probably go straight to the liquor store as soon as I fall into a complete, essentially mental sleep. I've found that staying awake requires an entire community of other people for me who are awake, who are paying attention, who are present in the now. And I don't know exactly what form this takes, but if you can honestly detect insanity in your life, where you say you're going to do one thing and you do something else, where you say you're going to go to bed earlier, where you're going to diet, where you're going to not go back to this, if what you say and what you do consistently does not line up, that, in my experience, is insanity. I'm not going to drink. Why are you drinking tonight? I'll never drink again. I'm drinking next week. What I found is I need a whole community of people I need to be a part of that and participate and help others. If that's the case and you detect this in your sleep, then that's a miracle. If you honestly notice, it doesn't matter if I want to go to bed early or not, I'm not going to do it. Instead of giving up, I don't know exactly what the community looks like for you, whether it's a 12-step program, whether it's just getting more involved with your family or your religion, or whether it's moving to some other place. I don't know what it looks like for you. For me, it's been going to AA meetings on a daily basis. It's been reading more spiritual books. It's been listening to what my wife suggests I do. It's been participating in my family and friends more. It's been working a little bit less. It's been giving up lots of things. And I'm grateful today. If you look, you'd probably think I live a pretty sane, reasonable life. And in the middle of that life, I'm grateful it's pretty easy for me most nights to get sleep. I asked myself the question today, what problem have I solved, so to speak, or do I not experience anymore that many other people on the planet are suffering in the middle of? And to me, sleep, I take it for granted, a good night's sleep now. And if something disrupts it, I don't get too upset. I'm like, whatever. I know I've got another good sleep just around the corner. I hope this has been helpful for you because I love you. I want you to have the most beautiful life possible. I would not deny you anything I have in my life. I have a wonderful life today, and that's why I try and share about it and talk about it, so that anything you might like to essentially copy and put into your life, as I've copied so many things from other people and substituted them in my life for things that weren't working. And now today, I'm grateful for this. My exercise today is to be grateful for all the people who've helped me get better sleep. All the books I've read, all the people I've listened to share their experience, all the people who've helped me, the thousands of people who've collectively helped me to be able to get a great night of sleep consistently. And then my exercise for the evening is to, again, put into practice what I do that I've done every night before, do it again tonight, and be grateful for the chance to do it. Thank you very much for watching or listening to this on YouTube, Facebook, or iTunes, Google Music, or on my website, wherever you listen to it. I hope this is helpful for you. I hope you have a wonderful day today.